Hi, everyone. Before you keep watching, please take into consideration some of these materials are a little sensitive, and I'm not a professional. So if you want professional help, go seek for it and be careful. Some of these subjects can be sensitive. Thank you and enjoy the show. Welcome to another episode of Dare to Think. Today, I'm going to talk about one of the principles that has made me guide my life into a place of more meaning than I had ever experienced before. This is some thinking and some ideas that I've drawn from the people that I admire, from the things that I've read, but especially from the people around me that I've been able to observe who have meaningful lives. Yo creo que todos nosotros nos han dicho 2,500 millones de veces que esta es nuestra, la mejor etapa de nuestras vidas entre los 15 y los 25, 28 son los mejores años de tu vida porque tienes menos responsabilidades, estás viviendo en un momento en el que el mundo no espera nada de ti, eres puro potencial. Casualmente, yo empiezo a escuchar, y es una de las razones por la que estoy tan obsesionado con Jordan Peterson, empiezo a escuchar a Jordan Peterson y una de las primeras historias que él analiza es Pinocho. Y Pinocho es una historia muy particular porque es la historia de un niño que básicamente no quiere crecer, que quiere ser un niño de verdad. Entonces Pinocho empieza a beber alcohol, empieza a salir a fiestas, etc. Se va al mundo de the hedonistic pleasure world, right? And so you see how Pinocchio goes and becomes his worst version, and then when he comes back and realizes his mistake, he has to, in Peterson's words, rescue his father from the belly of the beast. He has to go look for his father, Geppetto, in the literal stomach of a whale and get him out, right? And this is the whole story of what happens when you're living your life and you have these periods where you lose your meaning, where you lose who you are. And I think that one of the best remedies that you have for this is something that I learned not only from Peterson, but from Chris Williamson, Andrew Huberman, Jocko Willick, David Goggins, and I would even say Ayn Rand, as well as my family, who are people that, through their experiences, I've been able to see have meaningful experiences in life. This concept is called life on easy mode. So the idea is that most of us live, especially people my age, live life on easy mode. We live life where our parents pay for part of our expenses, where we have less responsibilities than other people, when we are basically just studying and, you know, taking care of our health as much as possible. But vamos a aceptarlo, la mayoría de nosotros no podemos ir al médico sin que nuestra mamá nos haga la cita. Todavía nos pasa a muchos. We're just starting to get into that moment where you can do some stuff on your own, like, oh my God, mamá, hice mi niño solo. Wow, increíble. But the reality is that most of us have this perpetual, my girlfriend just looked at me with the evil eye because ella acaba de sacar su niño sola y está demasiado proud. El caso es que we're all in this little state where every single achievement we have is a goal, where all of us are like unconsciously dodging responsibility because we don't really have like the moral and ethical muscle to carry things. And that's where I want to go with this. Life on easy mode is life without responsibilities, or at least with the least amount of responsibilities possible. What I believe and what I've been able to learn is that your life becomes more meaningful the more responsibilities that you're able to carry. Why? There is a philosophical notion that life is literally just pain and suffering, but that we as humans have the ability to create from that pain and suffering, that's called existentialism, by the way, from that pain and suffering, you can create meaning. Meaning stems from having a real impact in the world. And I think Peterson shapes this and puts this very, very, very well. He says, if you do something that's good for you today, you make a positive impact in the world. But imagine if you do something good for you now, tomorrow, next day, and forever for the rest of your life. And now imagine that you do that for the rest of your life, but you also do it for what's best for your family and for yourself. And then the best thing for your family, yourself, your community, yourself, your family, your community, your country, yourself, your family, your community, your country, the world. It has a real impact, okay? And he has this famous example of the moments in which you're most needed. And he says, look, a lot of people in the face of death, for example, don't know what to do. And he says, look, you should aim to be the most useful person at your father's funeral, because you will be going through grief. And the thing that will give you that sense of worth of being alive is doing something useful for you and the people around you. That is what we are here for. That's what many scholars think, and what many other people, normal people, think as well. I'm going to go somewhere else with this. There is this idea that we shouldn't get into really serious relationships when we're young. And that's like, you know, you should, in the British terminology, sow your oats. You should go out there, you should explore, and you should, you know, try as much flavors as you can of life. And I think that there's a sense of that in which that is true. There's a sense of, you know, going out and partying is, I think, something that you have to do, and living your life with the regrets of saying, oh, you know, Chris Williamson puts this very well, like, I want to be married with kids and have this like beautiful Brazilian woman walk down and like walk down the street next to me and not think like, ooh, I wish I had done that when I was younger, which is fine. It's true enough. But there's also something to be said about the fact that most people our age are really just afraid of commitment. And the thing is, life never gets easier than when it was when you were 20. And it's the same thing as going to the gym. If you want to lose weight and you start losing weight when you're 30, you'll take a lot longer to lose the weight than when you were 20 or maybe even 18. Like the changes and the ability that your body has to change is abysmal. Developing those muscles, the muscles that give you and allow you to carry that weight of responsibility, start out when you're 18, 19, 20. That's why, you know, I firmly believe that having a relationship, having to have your life combined with somebody else's in a way. Let me explain. So, una de las cosas más difíciles que uno no piensa es la logística detrás de una relación. O sea, si tú estás empatado con alguien y tienes una novia o tienes un novio y tienes que decir, ok, yo necesito darle suficiente tiempo a esta persona y esta persona tiene que darle suficiente tiempo a mí. And when you start getting older, one of the other things that I believe is essential is working. Having a job as young as you can, even if it's a job that you're not going to be working in the future, is super essential. So imagine that you have to square up these things. A job, studying, and your girlfriend and your family. If you learn and have the capacity to put all those four things in order, and you're going to fail at it. You're going to, you know, all the balls would be in the air at some point, and maybe you won't catch one. Maybe you'll disappoint part of your family. Maybe your girlfriend would get mad at you. And that's where this muscle comes in. You are supposed, as a human being, you're supposed to be able to deal with these inconveniences that come along the way. Sometimes you won't be able to make it to date night, and sometimes you won't be able to see your family, and sometimes you will make it late to your job, and you have to find a way to optimize your life to make yourself as bulletproof to these things as possible. Arguments will happen. Disagreements are a part of who we are as human beings, and if you don't create the systems that allow you to get past an argument, there's no serious relationship that you're going to have that's going to last more than 2 months. It reminds me of a really great scene in Friends where Chandler has a fight with Monica, their first fight, and he says like, well, you know, this is now over. And she's like, what do you mean? And he says, you know, we fought, it's now over. And Monica says, wait, you mean that every time you've had a fight with one of your partners, it ends? And he's like, yeah. And he says, oh, that makes sense. That's why all of your relationships have lasted like 2 months. And she says, no, I'm not going anywhere. It's just an argument. We talk, we walk it through it, and then we keep going. Life uneasy is being lazy with the meaning that you want your future life to have. If you have been through, like in my case, I've been through date nights, through fights, through insecurities, through having my girlfriend's bag stolen on New Year's Eve, to being locked out of our house, to adopting a cat together, and balancing that with my family, our responsibilities, all those things. When I turn 35 and I look back at my life, I'm going to say, wow, my connection with this person is so much more special because of everything we went through than it would have been if I had just slept around for 10 years and then found her. That isn't to say that isn't okay. you have your own journey. But as long as you start taking responsibility for things in your life and you start doing these little things that will completely change the way that you are, believe me, you will find this incredible well of meaning that just rises up out of nowhere. Peterson famously says, just make your bed in the morning. That'll be more than enough. I want to add one more influence here, and I want to talk about Ayn Rand. She says, she criticizes the notion of being your brother's keeper, which is this idea that you have to, defend anybody who needs it. And I think that one of the things that happens on Life on Easy Mode is that many people who live life like this have been coddled for a very long time. There are people that, o sea, nos pasa a todos, o sea, todos, o sea, por lo menos yo crecí en una casa en la que por mucho tiempo no tuve que hacer mi cama. Y de la noche a la mañana, por las situaciones de Venezuela y las protestas y Zika, dengue, chikungunya, todas estas cosas que nos sucedían en Venezuela, me tocó aprender a empezar a hacer mi cama todas las mañanas, a mantener mis cosas limpias. Y creo que muchas veces las personas que más tristes y infelices están son esas personas que simplemente haven't been able to get a grasp of the things that they can change and that they do have responsibility for. And Ayn Rand basically says, don't be your brother's keeper. Make your brother defend himself. Make that person, encourage that person, show that person that having your own abilities and your own capabilities, daring to think about every little aspect of your life and how it might change, what part of your life gives you the most meaning, that will lead to a life that's at least happier. And if it isn't, if you tried everything and in the end of your life you say, man, it just really was really hard and I didn't get to have happiness. Life is really just pain and suffering. At least you tried and you tried your hardest. Because it's really easy to just sit back and say, I'm not going to try because life is just pain and suffering anyways. Think about that. We'll be here next week. Remember, we're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere else you get your podcast from. Thank you very much for listening.
Me encantó este episodio.
Burda, bueno, marico.
Me encantó este episodio.
Yo, si una vez escribo un libro, escribo esto. Probablemente.